The other day I spoke to a young Korean girl. She was dressed kind of different, and I wrongly surmised that she would speak to me in broken English. She didn't. She spoke like a typical California girl. Lots of likes and totalings. And she had to give a testimony in a church. It was a 10-minute testimony. So as an experiment, I'd see how influenced she was by the American culture, by the California culture, and I decided I would count the amount of times she said the word like. You know, like totally. In 10 minutes, she said like 81 times, believe it or not. 81 times like. And it really shows how you and I are subconsciously influenced by the culture that surrounds us. We're influenced by what we say, by what we even eat, by the clothes we wear, how we talk, etc. In fact, I could go to university and I could point out to you certain people, and by the clothes they're wearing, I could tell you what music they like, and even their life's philosophy. The Bible says we're like sheep. Sheep tend to imitate one another. I come from a country that has a lot of sheep. I think 70 million people, or 70 million sheep, 3 million people. A lot of sheep. And I can tell you, people are like sheep. Sheep tend to imitate one another. If one sheep in a line jumps, the next 4 or 5 or 6 will jump. And I know people are like sheep because I give out a lot of Christian literature. And I know if I'm walking along a line and one person says, "Yeah, I'll take one," the next 6 people say, "Yeah, I'll have one too." One person says, "Meh, no thanks." And the next 6 will say, "No thanks." We are like sheep. And the Bible even says we're like sheep that are prepared for the slaughter. I don't know if you realize it today, but that's so true. You and I are like sheep waiting to be slaughtered. Now, one thing when it comes to sheep is when they want to slaughter them, they have what's called a Judas sheep. Because sheep tend to follow one another and imitate one another, Judas sheep goes to the top of the ramp, turns to the right, the rest of the sheep go forward and get their throats cut. I want to show you that you're like a sheep to the slaughter, and the way I'm going to do it, if I may, is that I'm going to take you through the 10 commandments and show you what a dangerous state you're in. So please bear with me. First of the 10 commandments says, "I am the Lord your God, you shall have no other gods before me." That means God commands, as your creator, the giver of life to you, that he be the focal point of your affections. You and I are commanded to love the Lord our God, our creator, with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love our neighbor as much as we love ourselves. Do you love the God that gave you life? Do you realize the eyes you see with, the brain you think with, the taste buds you eat with, the ears you hear with, come as a gift from God? You didn't evolve. You were created by the genius of God's handiwork. God has blessed you with this abundant land. You're not lying in some place in Africa on the dirt with flies crawling across your face. God has blessed you beyond your wildest dreams. Do you love God? It's only right that you do. Before you say yes, let me ask you another question. Ever use God's name in vain? You say, "Oh yeah, yeah, I say that now, and GD, JC, just slips out." So what you've done is taken the name of the God that gave you life and used it as a cuss word to express disgust. Adolf Hitler's name wasn't despised enough to use as a cuss word, but you've taken the name of God and used it in blasphemy, which is a terribly serious sin in God's sight. The Bible says, "The Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain." So if you've ever used God's name in vain, then you don't love God. You love the God of your own creation, the God who's a figment of your imagination, the God you created to conform to yourself and your own sins. That's called idolatry, when you make a God, either with your hands or your mind. And the Bible warns idolaters will not inherit the kingdom of God. The God that gave us life is holy and just and righteous. The Bible says he has prepared a day in which he'll judge the world in righteousness. And the standard which we'll judge the world with is the 10 commandments. Jesus said, "You've heard it said by them of old, you shall not commit adultery." But then he said, "But I say to you, whoever looks upon a woman to lust after her has committed adultery already with her in his heart." What will you do on the day of judgment when you stand before God and he judges you by that standard? Ever lied or stolen? Then you're a lying thief. And the Bible says all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. No thief will inherit the kingdom of God. Can you see that you're waiting as a sheep to the slaughter? that if you die in your sins and God gives you justice, you'll end up in hell? Folks, that's not God's will. He provided a way for you to be forgiven, and he did it through his son, Jesus Christ. God became a perfect human being and gave his life on the cross of Calvary, taking the punishment for the sin of the world. When Jesus was on the cross, he was bruised for our iniquities, the Bible says. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Folks, that's what God offers you today through the gospel, everlasting life. So come to your senses. Do what the Bible says, repent. Turn from your sins and put your trust in the Savior Jesus Christ. And the moment you do that, you'll pass from death into life. You'll pass from darkness into light. Now Mr. Blower is on his way to blow me away. So please think seriously about what you've heard today. If you've got a Bible, don't only just pray and get right with God, but pick up that Bible and obey what you read. That Bible is God's will for you on this earth. Thank you very much for listening this morning. God bless you.